How about Sioux Falls Stampede Hockey? The head coach, Kerry Eads, on the fan line. Hey, Coach, good afternoon.
What's going on, guys?
You know, hockey is pretty popular right now because I know the TV coverage is way up. People are watching the NHL playoffs. And when you look at the USHL playoffs, Coach, I think you got those four teams that are left. Tell you what, you just got to tip your cap to them. They're that good this year.
Yeah, there's some really, really good teams this year. And, again, the quality of our league is something special.
Waterloo, though, when you look at Waterloo and the team that you had to play in that round, what made Waterloo stand out just a little bit more than Sioux Falls?
Well, they were really on fire, you know. They had all guns a-blazing, a lot of confidence coming off of a real good stretch to secure the league title, the Anderson Cup.
And mm-hmm. Was it the forwards?
They were going to be maybe a little mentally and physically fatigued sure. by that, but that wasn't the case. And, you know, both games in Waterloo were fairly close, or very close, within one goal in the third period, and they made some big plays to go ahead. We had a real good effort through the first two periods in the second game, game two, which is really key. Either tie it at one all or you go down two games to nothing. And we were ahead 2-1, and you know, they had a couple fortuitous bounces go their way. There was a puck that went off the ceiling that came back into play, and our players were trying to referee and had their hands up for the ref to blow the whistle, and the guy came in and actually shot it right in the net. And then a call that we thought was going to go icing at the end of the period did not, and probably was the right call on that one. And the guy ended up centering it and scoring with 0.6 seconds left. So that was a real key turning point to the series. Had we been able to maintain that lead and possibly win that game, coming one game to one, mm-hmm. and coming home. But, they just steamrolled us in the first period in game three and, you know, are well-deserving of the victory.
It seems cliche, Coach, that to be successful, you got to have good goaltending. Is that true, or is that just a cliche?
No, I mean, you know, if you have great goaltending, you look like a pretty good coach, and if it's not very good, you know, your team suffers because of that. And, you know, we had good goaltending almost all year, you know, a real strong 1-2 battle. Unfortunately, one guy didn't rise and really grasp the reins on that, with mm-hmm. both David Jacobson and Arthur Bry at times going 3-4 stretches in a row. But nobody really grabbed, you know, a 5-6-7 game stretch, and neither of them played all that great the last 2-3 weeks of the season heading in to the playoffs. So they were a little bit of a victim of our poor play in front of them. I think it's pretty easy to, you know, point the finger at the goaltenders because they're the last line of defense, and when the puck goes by them, the red light goes on, and you know, everybody's saying, you know, what the heck. But, you know, Art had a real tough night, especially in the first period. And in game three, you know, those are three of those four goals he usually stops. And, you know, it was just one thing after another of what could go wrong did. And, you know, it was one of those things. But we needed to play much better defensively in front of them, and also not taking anything away from Waterloo's tremendous offensive team. And mm-hmm. you can't just say they're forwards because, you know, they're defensemen. Brandon Montour, number 62, he had a hat trick against us in game one, and he had a 5-point night against us in game three. So that just shows you the offensive firepower of that team.
Considering the expectations that maybe a lot of us on the outside had for this team with the experience and the way that last season ended and coming in with the kids that you were going to have coming back, is it unfair to label this year a disappointment or underwhelming, or is there a sense of maybe some things were left undone?
Definitely things were left undone. You know, I think disappointment probably within the locker room there is. There's a lot of things to be excited about. I think we did have a good returning nucleus of players, but, you know, we didn't have the consistency throughout the year. nor at times the commitment throughout the year of a championship-level team, and definitely not the same level that we had the previous season with the less talented team. And, you know, sometimes, even though you have a lot of returners, you know, you lose those key core leadership guys. And, you know, Ryan Searle, you take a look at Sam Rothstein, and definitely in goal, you know, with Charlie Lindgren, you know, those are extremely mature leadership guys. And the next rung of guys were good secondary leaders, but as they came in to lead a team, we were having battles within that group, or were just not everybody pulling in the right direction. So, you know, a lot of things to be positive about for the season, for sure. You know, leading the league in attendance is probably the most positive thing,
that
not only
huge.
For the fans,
that was great.
For the bank account, and mm-hmm. you know, for the future of the franchise as we move into a possibly bigger, and I say possibly because you can curtain it to 5,000, or you can have the upper deck open, and you know, that's exciting. We did finish in fifth place overall in a 16-team league, and you know, we finished ahead of Dubuque, who's still in the playoffs and in the final four. But our tough chore was, again, four of the top five teams are in the western side of the conference.
That's right.
And then we did, you know, a big part of our season and our mission, so to speak, is to get scholarship players. And, you know, we had 14 players at the end of the year and 18 overall get Division I scholarships. So we're pretty proud of that. So, you know, our year-end goals weren't attained, and definitely the way the season ended abruptly in the playoffs were definitely disappointing. But as you take a step back and let the smoke clear from that playoff disappointment, there's a lot of things that we still accomplished and can be proud of. And as we move this thing forward, we really have a bright future in our hands.
He's Kerry Eads, Sioux Falls Stampede coach, joining us here in Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. Coach, about 40% of the team coming back? Is that a good round number, or is it going to be a little less than that?
Probably be less than that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, you know, quite a turnover. The year before, we, as we mentioned, a lot of veteran players coming back, and, you know, sometimes maybe too many. And, you know, we're able to, you know, steal or borrow or grab players from other leagues.
Yep.
So we're not going to have a team of rookies, but we're not going to be, you know, as old as a team and maybe set in their ways. You know, so we'll be competitive. We've got a good core of guys coming back with Griffin Molino, Dakota Joshua, you know, Ryan Schwalbe, Logan O'Connor, or four forwards that can come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we have three goalies that can be coming back, and David Jacobson and Art Bry, who were with us all year, and then, you know, our goalie of the future, a 96-born Steph Lekas, who played in the North American Junior League this year and joined our team for the last 3 weeks. You know, so we've got a decision there. Obviously, three is one too many, so as well as a couple defensemen. So we've got a good core. We do have a protected list in the USHL where we have players playing in other junior leagues and in high schools that should be able to step right in. So we only need, you know, 6 to 8 players from the draft, and, you know, the draft is going to be important, and that's coming up a little less than 2 weeks away. On May 5th is a futures draft of 98-born players, and May 6th is the 94 through 97 draft. So those are some big times for us, and everybody asks, are we have the golf clubs out? And no, we've got a phone growing out of our ear, and all of us are heading on the road tomorrow to scout different events.
So is that the next thing that's up for you, is the draft in a couple of weeks, but the next 2 weeks, that's primarily going to be spent on the road?
Yeah, a little bit of both. There's events both weekends. There's a big one in Minneapolis this weekend, and actually it's a double event, and then there's a combine in Chicago for the USHL 96-97 birth dates this weekend, and 98's the following weekend. So that with as well as, you know, using all our contacts in the business, you know, Dennis Stewart, our assistant coach, who's in charge of our scouting, and I, you know, he saw a lot of games, and we have different scouts and contacts, but now we're, you know, kind of rating players from other people's word of mouth and contacting all the colleges and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's a busy time on the phone, We do have the availability of video and trying to, you know, narrow our list down and provide some kind of ranking heading into the draft.
Sure.
So, you know, you're organized not only in players, but what other teams know about these players, you know, how visible they are, because, you know, we think we can grab some pretty good players at the tail end of the draft, and Griffin Molina was a great example of that. I mean, he's one of our top forwards this year, and yet we took him in the 25th round of the draft because nobody else knew that about him, and those that didn't know he was an American playing in Canada.
That's good to have those resources, no doubt about it, Coach.
Of course,
when you think about the draft, you're going to have an extra team or two taking from the same pieces of the pie, because you got Bloomington and Illinois. They're going to be playing next year. They start from scratch. Real quick, if you were going to start from scratch, all over, starting from zero, how do you go about it? Do you go for the goaltender first, or do you go offense, or are you just going best player available?
Yeah, best player available, and you're right. The draft is different this year, and unfortunately for us, it rolls around on a year that we have a bigger turnover, because they're going to pluck some first-rounders right away. Both teams have five tenders, is what they're called, which is basically a pre-draft contract that they can sign up to five players, and they'll use them all or they lose them. So they're already signing players that would probably go in the first round. So there's already going to be 10 players gone.
Mm-hmm.
And also they get two picks a round for the first three rounds,
oh,
I believe, and pick after the non-playoff team. So that bumps us down to 13th. But, you know, they got a big chore. The other kind of strange uniqueness to this year's draft is Indianapolis, which is one of the top teams in the league, is losing their franchise and going dark, so to speak. And those players are going to be dispersed throughout the league in a dispersal draft 5 days after their team is done. So we were pushing like heck for a lottery for that, but unfortunately they're going reverse order again.
Oh.
And, you know, so teams like Fargo that, you know, had a tough year and finished on the bottom points-wise are going to have the first pick in the futures draft, the entry draft, and the dispersal draft.
Oh, my goodness.
A good year to rebuild. But, you know, those are some of the challenges. But, you know, again, on the positive side, we think we have enough contacts and visibility that, you know, you can make some steals. It's not like the NHL draft where really there's no secrets. You know, basically the top players get taken first, other than the Russians, which now people are kind of shying away from because they have the KHL, their own pro league. So,
uh-huh,
you know, a good Russian might be taken in the fourth round because you're not sure if he's going to come or not.
Oh,
same
sure.
as the USHL player. Hmm. You know, the players that are coming to the league for sure will get taken early. The gambles will get taken later on. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not as good a player.
Hey, Coach, we'll certainly be in touch with that those drafts coming up here in the next couple of weeks. But I can't wait for this fall when we get that event center. And there's no doubt in my mind that first game that is going to be played in the event center, it is going to be absolutely full, and it's going to be a great atmosphere. People are not going to know what hockey looks like once they get in there, because the sight lines are going to be so much better. I think there's a lot of excitement for you guys beginning next year.
Yeah, we're just thrilled to be moving in there. The Sioux Falls Arena was great to us for 15 years, but as you mentioned, some challenging sight lines, and just being in the new Denny Sanford Premier Center a couple times, boy, it gets the hair going,
yep,
hair up on the back of your neck, and it's going to be really exciting, and you know, more so for the fans because of the sight lines and all the bells and whistles are going to make it a real event, and obviously it's going to be fun to compete in that venue.
Hey, Coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. We'll talk again right after the draft.
Sounds great. Look forward to it, Craig and Chris. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye now.
Kerry Eads, head coach of the Sioux Falls Stampede.